IFPRI Policy Seminar, Input Subsidy Programs in Developing Countries, What Works, What Doesn't, and Why, held on April 18, 2013 in Washington, D.C. Speaker, Simeon Awi from the World Bank.
Thank you, Schengen and Shairi, thank you for inviting me. When I was asked to come, I was wondering from which perspective I should be speaking. You know, I'm from Africa, but I work on South Asia. So I decided to focus on South Asia because that's where, most of my work is happening, a lot of with my colleagues, and we're actually discussing this topic. So I put down a few slides. A lot of it, you recognize that there will be some similarity interface with what Shahidi presented and also Tom. I'll go fast so that we can, have time for discussion. But basically, as it was said earlier, in the case of South Asia, the issue about fertilizer started like in the 70s when the donors agreed to provide support for India in particular and other countries in the region to boost agricultural productivity. So there's a long story there about providing support for minimum packages to improve productivity. Now, the question is that it was not all that bad because, we have had some very good impact. So clearly, we have had some good evidence that combination of seed, water, fertilizer will actually has helped to increase food production. And we can see that with the total food productivity graph I'm going to show later, about what has happened in the 70s, 80s, 90s, before the growth started to decline. So it was not all that good, that bad, but also it was not all good either, as Shahidi also said. Clearly, there was some distortion. You have had cases where energy subsidies, went to irrigate farmers at the expense of the dryland farmers, as you have seen that, most of them, and also the focus was more on the large farmers. So the biggest problem was that over time, the farmers were not willing to adopt, input without the subsidies, and even today in South Asia and India in particular. So this graph here shows basically, and Alejandro and others can recognize that, what the TFP looked like. I mean, the total growth of output over the years can be explained entirely by the use of inputs, with marginally little explained by TFP, basically, by research and extension. So the knowledge that went in is not as much as the total input, as you can see, the blue and green graph. What are the challenges that the region faces, basically? And the graph was presented earlier. It is a big burden on the public expenditure. And I'm going to show you some numbers in a few minutes. There's also the poor targeting. I said earlier that there's been a focus on large farmers at the expense of the small ones, and also a focus on irrigated agriculture at the expense of the dryland agriculture. Another big challenge is the long-term impact on the environment and productivity, because that's something that often we have ignored over the years. So this graph here shows basically the disproportion between the money that goes to subsidies as compared to the money that goes to overall budget of ministries and also public investment on your right. So it's several fold. The subsidy, the monies that go subsidy are several fold larger than the budget for agriculture, for the ministry, and then for the public investment. And it also concurs with the graph presented earlier by Shahidi. And again, this is another way of presenting the work of Schengen, Gulati and Torat. I mean, again, where they have shown that even if at the beginning support in fertilizers and input subsidies was quite rewarding, over the years it has reversed, and support for road, education, irrigation and so on, are providing more return than positive return than the subsidies like the fertilizer and then the power subsidies. Now, here I said it earlier, the subsidies that the subsidies that have been provided for inputs are missing target in the region. In actual fact, it is the fertilizer industry that's benefiting from the subsidies much more than the farmers. Okay, and as you will see also later, the larger farmers are the one actually benefiting from that. In terms of the fiscal impact, clearly it is a drain on the budget of the government. And in India, for example, because of the high support for urea, and it's providing now some decreased marginal return in terms of productivity gains, Haryana and Western UP in India, for instance, the incentive there is actually to grow rice, which is, you know, water absorbing, you know, we call it water guzzling, and at the expense of high value, you know, agriculture, because of the subsidies that are being provided in that part of the country. And it currently is creating a lot of health and other problems that we are not looking at. Another issue that we keep, we also need to keep in mind is the power subsidies in South Asia, and India being the lead in the lead. About agriculture uses like 30% of electricity supply at no cost. If you are a farmer, and you know you can get really electricity almost free of charge. So the incentive there is that we cannot be surprised that these subsidies that the farmers are receiving for electricity is actually causing a lot of groundwater to be exploited. And the interesting fact is that actually every farmer benefits from the electricity subsidy, okay, about 88% of that. So we cannot be surprised about the consequence of what's happening. What we need to take into account is that we need to is the human factor of it. Okay, so the fact that that we see, you know, like farmers at the head, you know, and that are actually benefiting from the fertilizers at the expense of the farmers that are actually at the tail end is not surprising. We are not also should not be surprised about the fact that the power subsidies are also contributing to the falling of the water tables, and also the credit is creating a big fiscal cost, creating a behavioral problem. And in 1989, for instance, the government had to come in to help some farmers actually pay a lot of their debt as a result of borrowing. One thing that I think we need to keep in mind, and which is worse in South Asia compared to Africa, is really the political aspect of it. And we, being in the World Bank, it is something that we are not actually touching. It is a highly political, politically charged topic, and politicians need that. So we are not at the same level with the politicians because they need that to be able to win their vote. And mostly that's what they propose to be able to get elected. So for even though the Ministry of Finance sees that one as a big deal and they keep talking about it all the time, in the 5-year plans that they propose, they keep talking about that, but they cannot do anything with it, really. They cannot. And in our dialogue, it's not even a topic that we usually touch because I mean, India, for instance, is full of eminent scientists. They know about the topic, they know the issue, and they are aware of it. It's just a difficult thing to do. I mean, here we talk about 21 billion, okay, which is about 23% of the budget fiscal deficit as a result of use of subsidies. What we, my colleagues and I, we are thinking is that, and also I think our colleagues at IFPRI is that, we need to change the conversation a little bit, okay? We need to be able to, rather than, you know, advocating or, you know, telling them, giving them those numbers which that they're aware of, we need to be able to continue to quantify the detrimental impact of the subsidies. So for instance, if we can show how much groundwater is being exploited in Haryana, Western UP and other states in India as a result of the use of fertilizer and creating problems of water use for other sectors like the urban area, the industry, they can understand that, okay? That's one. So how can we work on institution for water management? The environmental consequences of water tables is also a topic that we need to talk about. And for us economists, we also need to continue to talk about the impact of the subsidies in terms of not looking at the input output type of argument, but look at it from a broader scale level. I mean, at the macro level, district, state, and country, what's happening? Okay, and continue to have that kind of conversation. So a lot of continuing research is needed, dialogue, discussion, showing this kind of message in terms of scientifically based information can actually change the course of things. Thank you very much.